Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about startup fraud.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So Stelly, I know you have a story. What's up?
Yeah. So specifically, we're going to talk about what happens if somebody in your startup, somebody that you hired that works with you, is doing some shady shit, right? Is doing things that they're not supposed to do and, you know, stealing money from you or your customers or just lying in one way or another. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on like what to do to prevent this, how to notice it, what to do when you notice it. But I have a story that really sparked this. So the way that we've built Closeout is different in one very specific way to many other CRMs, in which that we have like a huge amount of transparency with our system. So anybody within an organization that uses Closeout can see kind of transparently all communication that happens with a prospect or a customer, all email communications, all calls, recordings, everything is one place. So quite frequently we'll get a customer that tells us that they found a sales rep that did something they weren't supposed to do. And the only way and reason why they noticed it is because of this level of transparency. And recently we got one of the most shocking examples of this. So a Closeout customer in a startup that goes through, I think, Techstars right now in New York City, they had hired a sales rep, and that sales rep's job was to schedule demo calls for the founder. And the idea was to call marketing agencies and set up calls with like a head of marketing there or something. And so the founder noticed a bunch of weird stuff. And eventually he looked a little bit deeper, and he could see in the timeline communication between that sales rep and the prospect that, you know, the prospect would be like whatever Bob at this big agency company, but the email communication would be some random Bob email at Hotmail or at Yahoo Mail or something, not the real agency corporate email. And then when he would start to listen to these calls sounded really weird. In a sense, he got like the suspicion that the sales rep was actually like talking to himself on these calls, like calling a fake number and then using a voice distorter to talk to himself and pretend this is a prospecting call to set up a demo. So he started listening to a number of different call recordings, and the prospect always sounded the same. And then he noticed that when he some of these demos that the sales rep had set up for him, when he would talk to that, you know, quote unquote Bob from marketing agency X, the person would sound super young and would be totally unknowledgeable about agencies or marketing, and would sound nothing like the person on the recordings that the sales rep had pretend to be Bob. So a lot of weird stuff, you know, and he was like collecting more and more evidence. Eventually he came to the conclusion that this rep was faking activity, was faking calls and faking demo schedules, and then would have friends of his pretend to be these people to do these demo calls with the founder because he was paid on a per demo scheduled basis, which is pretty wild. And he confronted the sales rep, and it turned out that that was accurate, right? And it kind of blew his mind. And thankfully, like, it sucks to have to go through something like this where you wasted a ton of time doing demos that were fake and paying somebody that wasn't deserved to be paid money and wasting time training and coaching somebody and all that. The only good news here is that I think he picked this up pretty quickly. So this was not going on for like months, but just for a few weeks. Obviously, it still sucks when this happens. So I don't know. I'm just curious to hear if you have some stories like this, how to prevent these things from happening. Just chit-chatting with you a little bit about it, because I have some other stories as well to share some thoughts. But I'd love to hear your reaction on this specific case. Have you ever heard something as crazy as this with like a voice distorter and all this shit?
It's super difficult in a startup to kind of, you know, on one hand, you want to trust the people you hire. On the other hand, like, you want to make sure they're not doing anything like this. And you might not even think about it when you hire them because, you know, you hired them and you have some level of trust because you hired them. So to me, like, yeah, I've heard lots of weird stuff. This one's like pretty extreme, I would say. It's like funky.
Yeah.
It's like, in my opinion, your company, your startup, if you're a founder, CEO even, it's your brand. It's such a big deal to you. Mm. It's like an important aspect of your identity. I'm not saying it is your identity, although, you know, we could argue about that or have a podcast on that. I know you agree with me on whatever I'm thinking on that. But, you know, and we've talked about this a little bit, like startups are not your baby because they aren't or babies. So I would say that like the line that comes in my head is trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hire someone to do a core process early on in your business, you want to make sure that you can trust them. And you don't know them most of the time. So if you don't know them, you already know you can't trust them. They're not like your best friend, or they're not like highly recommended. Even if they're highly recommended, sometimes they do weird stuff. You create systems early on so you can start verifying as you trust them. So in this case, like calls should have been recorded, and you might have sat in on those calls initially, mm-hmm. Really understood what the person was sending. The only reason is like, on one hand, some people might think I'm crazy and say, oh, but you're like micromanaging. It's like, well, actually, I just want to learn. I want to make sure that if this is an area I don't have visibility on and someone new starting and I don't know how it works, or like I've been doing it and I want to make sure it's done a certain way, why wouldn't I want to look at it? Why wouldn't I want to like hop in on the calls and understand what's going on? And then over time, you can build that trust. So I think a lot of the relationship of somebody joining your company and yourself and the whole company as a whole is a process of building trust. And that comes in different aspects depending on the role.
I totally agree. So I love the trust but verify, right? Because this is exactly what I had in mind when I heard the story. And the way that I would go about this is I would really think about this in the beginning. You might want to check in more frequently, right? The first 4 weeks that somebody joined your company is now reaching out, especially if it's a customer-facing role, you might want to be a bit more active in the verifying part. And it's not just to verify, it's also to just give feedback, to get context, to really understand what's going on. So if you train somebody to schedule demo calls, I would want to be on some of these calls that this rep has to demos, to schedule demo calls, to just listen to how the conversation goes, listen to what's going on, give feedback, learn. But the way that you do it frequent in the beginning and less frequent over time. So if in the first week I might want to join 4 calls, the second week maybe 2, the third 1, then I might be just joining 1 call a month, and then eventually 1 call a quarter, maybe just 1 call a year, right? But so it's not about like micromanaging somebody forever, because that's not scalable and not feasible. It's not a great experience for the person who's doing the job, right? Once I heard a few of your calls, I don't need to be in every single call. I kind of get the idea of what you're doing. But not joining any of your calls from day one is just plain stupid, right? And it's also not, even if the fraud thing is not even in question, it's not the greatest onboarding experience, because no matter how much you talk about these calls with your new employee, new team member, listening to them while it's happening is going to give you so much more context on giving valuable feedback and helping them do their job better. So trust by verify is a big one. Here's one that even happened before trust and verify. And obviously, to me, the best way to avoid having somebody that frauds you or your customers in your team is to prevent it from happening in the first place by not hiring that type of person, right? So having a really good hiring process. And one thing that we got frauded in, and I've talked about this in a prior episode,